Next on BYUSN, is BYU men's basketball a top 10 team in the Big 12 conference right now? And which grade did BYU football's transfer portal class get? We'll answer those questions in a game of Big Deal, No Deal. We'll also be joined by four-star and ESPN top 100 point guard commit Elijah Crawford. Why is BYU the best fit for him? And why did he get excited to play for Kevin Young?
Taysom Hill's taking snaps in a new position? And what's his most effective position on the field? And the latest Deep Blue featuring Cougar fan Scott Park, who overcame tragedy with the help of the women's basketball team.
Welcome to BYU Sports Station, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, May 23rd. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who is once again counting down each and every day until BYU football kicks off their season on August 31st, Jerem Jordan.
Today's the day that matters, so hit it.
Countdown to the Salukis.
100 days.
Salukis, that's a type of dog, question mark?
I believe so, yes.
That's what the mascot looks like.
The Southern Illinois Salukis.
Yeah, 100.
Should we Google that right now?
It's a breed of dog, we're told. So there you go. Yeah, let's go.
All right, so whatever breed of dog that is.
Saluki.
The Salukis. Just don't know exactly what it looks like. But hey, it's a mascot,
they
and they're coming
sight,
to Provo.
Not scent.
They're coming to Provo.
Okay.
Here's what I'm hoping for 100 days from now. That we're not discussing something like 2017 with the Portland State opener or even the Sam Houston opener last year for
last
BYU.
Year. Oh, it's fine. No, it wasn't.
Both seasons. It wasn't really okay.
4 and 5 wins, respectively. No. Need to put up a 40 spot. A hundy from now.
Let's go.
Let's go.
All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Sets to throw, dumps it off underneath, Epps makes the catch, has some room to go. Jeez. Richie for the lead from three,
got it! Well, let's get it on with Big Deal, No Deal. We'll discuss three different topics today, and if you are new to the program, well, we decide
Welcome.
If it's a big deal First or time. No deal.
Hi.
If you're a veteran of the program, you know how this works.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
The first, this according to 24/7 Sports, Jerem, they put out a way too early Big 12 basketball power rankings yesterday.
When is early enough?
I have no idea.
Like November.
But apparently it's just way too early
okay.
right now.
It's May.
Okay, 16 teams. We believe the conference will be stronger and better than it was last year, and it was largely considered the best conference in America.
Yep.
Out of those 16 teams in these power rankings, BYU comes in at number 9. Is this a big deal or no deal?
Well, I'm going to say big because if you can be in the top 10, you are in a great position to make the NCAA tournament. If this is how it actually shakes out, right, if BYU finished 9th, I'd be just fine with that. This is a hard league. Tied for 5th was incredible. I'd love to think that BYU is going to do that regularly or again soon. And maybe it's this year. I don't know. But I would take 9th. I really would. I could argue no deal because it's May and who cares, just whatever. Not all the rosters are put together. But I'm going to go big because I think if BYU was able to actually finish in 9th, I think that would be big time for Kevin Young in year one. You're bringing in a new staff. Granted, Chris Burgess is back. You're bringing in several new players, although you have a good core. 9th would be nice in year one of the Big 12.
This is a big deal. Not so much about the number that the Cougars are 9th here, but that writers and experts feel inclined to put BYU at number 9, given that Mark Pope is no longer the head coach at BYU. If you had the experts do this right after Mark Pope decided he was going to Kentucky, where do you think BYU would end up in this list?
14th.
13 or 14?
With Hall and Saunders in the portal.
So this is all indicative of what BYU has done.
Yeah.
They have won majorly in the offseason in what looked like a very dire circumstance, losing their head coach after that remarkable season. So the fact that BYU is still number 9, given everything that transpired, that's the biggest deal to me, that the Cougars are still in the conversation right now.
I wonder in the preseason poll, when all the rosters are finally composed, where BYU will sit among the coaches' preseason poll when we're sitting in Kansas City at Basketball Media Days in October. 9th feels like a kind of a probable spot for BYU. What do you think?
Somewhere between 8 and 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair.
They shouldn't be top 5 unless they add two pieces that are like NBA draftable next year.
Jerem, the top 5 in this poll are all going to be top 10 teams in the AP preseason poll.
Kansas, Houston, Iowa State, Baylor, Arizona, Cincinnati getting a lot of love here. They've added some pieces for sure. Texas Tech, TCU, then BYU, below BYU, Kansas State, UCF, West Virginia, who to me is kind of sneaky. They've added some nice pieces.
Even though they lost their star point guard, Kirk Creasa.
Yes. Well, I would say Javon Small is better than Creasa. Creasa went to Kentucky, by the way. Fun fact. Arizona State is just kind of meh. Oklahoma State lost a lot. Utah. Colorado, 16th right now. I know they lost some guys. They have a couple guys that could be drafted.
That, to me, feels surprising.
That is surprising. So we'll see what the Buffaloes include there. It's so weird. It's still weird for me to be like, yeah, Colorado in the league, even though they were in the league forever. And then they left, right, to the Pac-12. So this will take some getting used to. Whatever we felt like we knew about the Big 12 in year one, it has changed, dog, with Texas and Oklahoma leaving and the four corners coming in. I'm excited about Big 12 2.0, which, by the way, they've kind of hinted at it last year that they may rebrand in some way. I wonder if the league's name will change. We'll see what they do.
Yeah. At this late in the game, I'm leaning towards no, but we'll see.
Football Media Day will be the big rollout, it feels like. I don't know that. I'm just guessing.
We'll see what Brett Yormark has to say about that. Now, we're talking about BYU. So just outside the top half, like, if BYU finished in the top 8, they finished 8th, that would be a major win.
You're a single-digit seed, I would imagine.
Right. Most likely.
And frankly, this year, I just want BYU to make the tourney. I don't really care what seed they'd be.
Think about this. Kansas, projected 1 seed. Houston, projected 1 seed. Iowa State, projected 2 seed. And those are way too early bracket projections for next year. But Iowa State, projected 2 seed. Baylor, projected 2 seed. Arizona, projected 3 seed. Those are your top 5 teams. So 6, 7, 8, and 9. Yeah, BYU could finish 9th in the conference and still be like a 7 seed. That's how loaded conference is.
I'd take a 10 right now.
A tournament spot.
We have 9 rostered players. Yeah.
Tournament spot.
I really like the roster, but BYU needs a couple more reinforcements on the roster as we take a look at the list again. Yeah, BYU's really close for me to be like, okay, I expect them to be an NCAA tournament team.
This is a quote from the Power Rankings article. BYU nailed it with new coach Kevin Young, who arrives in Provo after 4 seasons as a Phoenix Suns assistant. Young moved quickly to get Dallin Hall and Richie Saunders to exit the transfer portal and return to Provo. That nucleus, along with Trevin Nell and Fusini Traore, provides BYU with such a high floor already and a core that would be intriguing to potential transfers. We're finding out that indeed it is. Mm-hmm. Kaba Keita and some high school signees as well.
And ESPN Top 100 guys.
The quote continues. Let's check back in on this group in a few weeks. The complexion of Young's roster could look vastly different and, in parentheses, so much better.
It's not getting worse. You're only adding to the good that you already have, right? What did Gordon B. Hinckley say? We're not trying to, denigrate anybody. Come see if we can't add to what you already have, which is what BYU basketball's roster is right now. See, Elijah Crawford, come to BYU and see if we can't add.
Let's add to the goodness.
If you can't add to us as well. So I'm stoked. Yeah,
this is a big deal, man.
It is a big deal. Even though it's like a random list on May 23rd, I think it's a big deal. Okay, number 2. Rivals.com put out transfer portal grades for every football team in the Big 12. Gave BYU a C+, which I'm pretty familiar with academically here at BYU when I was here. Is this a big deal or a no deal?
BYU football has bigger fish to fry than to worry about what Rivals.com says about the transfer portal class. So I'm going to lean no deal because it hasn't totally closed. Like, maybe BYU has something that they could add very late in the game. I don't know. Maybe this is just me just grasping at straws. But the C-plus grade to me is no deal. I'm more concerned that BYU is coming off a 5-7 season and all the stock is going into a quarterback's room that has, like, 7 guys in it right now, and there's no, like, projected starter. So that, to me, is the biggest deal, is that there's no clear indication that BYU has their guy at quarterback and you're coming off a 5-win season.
Yeah.
Certainly, a quarterback through the transfer portal would help with that and would have raised the grade. But
what do you mean? Almost everybody's through the portal at some point in the room, right?
So the quarterback position specifically is where I have the big deal. Like, overall, like, I actually think BYU's linebacking core is going to be really good. I think their defense is going to be good. So the C plus, like, I don't know. If it was quarterback specifically, that's where I say that it's the biggest deal. That BYU doesn't have their guy to lead the offense right now securely. That, to me, is a huge concern. That's the actual big deal.
The quarterback can win you a lot of games.
Yes.
It's not just the quarterback, but certainly the quarterback, especially in the Big 12, it feels like, needs to be good. I don't want to say no deal out of sheer it's inconvenient and I don't like it.
Yeah, no.
Which sometimes happens,
right? I think
right?
It's fair.
I do think it's fair. The reason is BYU has not added a ton of, one, volume, just straight up a ton of dudes, and two, dudes that did something last year. Now, Gary Bohannon, you add, but it wasn't last year. In fact, he didn't even play last year, right? He played in 21 and 22 for Baylor and South Florida.
It's
going to
be
so
almost
on.
2 years
it's
in
been
between his starts.
And that was kind of the same with Keaton Slovis, where, yes, he had played at Pitt, but he was injured and kind of didn't go well. Jack Kelly is the most exciting transfer prospect BYU has at linebacker. He's going to start and play. Mark Collins is a good cornerback, too, from Weber State. Keep him on your radar. Trayson Borgay is a walk-on from Western Michigan that will compete there. He was competing in spring. And obviously, there's a quarterback from Utah State, and there's a lineman from Colorado that haven't been announced yet. That
can't
play
say
into
their
this.
Names yet.
Can't say their names because Brigham Young. So I'm going to say no deal as well. Not out of inconvenience, but because I kind of agree, and that's okay. And let's break that down. Last year in the transfer portal in men's hoops, BYU added Ali Khalifa and Dawson Baker. They weren't over-the-moon, crazy game changers per se. But Ali Khalifa, combined with the core, Dawson Baker got hurt.
He was the
was
magic.
Was a big game changer.
He was the magic for BYU.
I think you could have fairly given BYU like a B- or C from those last year. But we're hoping the principle of core plus different coaches and improvement and run game equals influence, albeit with few portal guys. Yes, it would be nice to add more portal guys that had great production from last year, a la Aiden Robbins coming off 1,000 yards at UNLV. It's like proven commodity at the G5 level. Now you get a chance here.
Love to have him back again.
Unfortunately, didn't work out a ton with his injuries, but against Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, the dude was pretty effective. We're kind of banking on football doing that, where it's like, okay, core plus a couple key transfers, sure, but not a ton. Yes, I would love, though, for BYU to have had more transfers. Not a massive amount like 2 years ago. It didn't work out. But more that we're like, oh, the dude put up XYZ at such and such school. I'm very excited about that production.
I'm glad you brought that up, because another reason why I feel like it's no deal-ish. Like, again, we both agree the C plus is a fair grade. And maybe that's why it's
probably
like,
fair.
That's not a big deal. Like, we agree.
Low
like,
volume, okay? And some of those guys are FCS, which is, it's okay, but you're just not going to be perceived as being big time.
But,
right?
I do like that BYU has not added so many new pieces.
Oh,
because how
you're
many players? I mean, recently, Keelan Marion and Darius Lassiter at the Fan Fest, they specifically referenced what we have talked about so many times, which is it's really difficult to gel together when you have so many new guys. Yep. They feel like, okay, we've gone through that year, now we're a core.
That's a point of diminishing returns. I want to say prior to 22, 23 in men's hoops, BYU had, you know, 6 or 7 transfers come in. This year so far in men's basketball, it's 1 transfer so far and 2 signees out of high school. Too much turnover can be a little chaotic. It's rare that like a Kansas State 2 years ago has 10 transfers, they go to the Elite Eight. Like that is the exception, not the rule in men's basketball.
The core, when you can maintain the core and then add a few key pieces here and there.
This if the core is the good, and the core is good.
This is the way.
Yeah,
and we're hoping BYU's football core takes the next step this year.
Yes, Mandalorian.
ESPN's Bill Connolly put out updated SP Plus rankings as we move to number 3 here. Post-spring ball, he has BYU 67th overall in college football, 12th out of 16 Big 12 teams ahead of Colorado, Cincinnati, Houston, and Arizona State. Is this a big deal or no deal?
I go no deal because it's kind of what we're thinking, and that's fair. This screams 6-6, post spring, which the goal this year is 6-6 plus.
Okay.
Obviously 7-5 would be great. 8 plus, come on, we're in some great territory here. 9 almost feels crazy, but I say no deal. Kind of the middle of the pack in college football, which is just fine with me, given kind of where BYU's at in its build to compete for a Big 12 title over the next couple of years. That isn't this year. This year is get to a bowl game. I say no deal.
So I have done some research on the SP Plus rankings dating back to February of 2018 when he does the post-spring ball. Or sometimes these are postseason numbers. Things don't change a ton between February and when he does it again in May post-spring ball. I mean, some transfers factor in. And here's why I think this is a big deal.
Oh.
Okay? It's a big deal. Because historically, when BYU has been picked in the middle of the pack to maybe even the bottom third, because there's more room to grow, like they have overachieved. In 2018, they were number 76. They finished 46th.
I like that.
Okay, in 2020, they were 53rd. They finished 7th. 2021, 52, they jump up 6 spots to number 46. But I'll take being a top 50 team in SP Plus all day, every day in a
season. SP Plus did not like the 21 team as much as they are perceived to have been better.
Even though they were 10-3.
Yeah. Kay? And there were good wins in there, we thought. But the lowly Pac-12 was too easy, I guess.
So here's what's interesting. In February 2022, BYU was coming out that 10-3 season. The numbers loved the Cougars when they brought back Jaren Hall and Puka Nacua and they had Chris Brooks. They were projected 23rd. And they finished 70th. So I think this is a big deal because when BYU is typically down the list, more often than not, there's room to grow and they have overachieved, even a little bit. So if BYU is 67 and they finish 55, there's a chance they can win 7 games. Like that is the way. And so I believe the ceiling is really high for BYU because expectations are so low. 67 is not a great number, but I think BYU could finish up around 50 or 55 if health is there, specifically on the defensive side of the ball. But I think it starts with defense.
Well, there's room to grow, but I don't think the ceiling is high, right? We're not saying 9 is possible. Does that make sense?
There's a lot of room between BYU and the ceiling, is what I'm saying.
Like, yes.
There's more room to grow, I feel, than get worse.
But the ceiling, we're not talking about the ceiling being like 9 wins. Like, the ceiling is 8,
realistically,
it feels like,
with a bowl game win, like 7-5 in the regular season,
and you go
to a bowl and you go 8-5. We sat in front of that monitor last week and played Deal or No Deal.
I want to be wrong about this. I really do. I want BYU to come out and be 3-0 in non-con and have a great Big 12 season, and go 5-4, and 8-4 regular season going for 9. I want to be wrong about that, but this team has to show us what men's hoops did, which is this core. And a couple key additions really changed things.
It's not mathematical. I mean, last season, BYU was in the 60s, and there was digression. Like, they got worse. But that has been the outlier.
Right.
Typically, when they're lower, they finish higher. There's something about BYU doing that.
BYU loves to be underwhelmed and overlooked.
That's kind of why I feel like this is a big deal. It's just they're just so meh. Like, and that motivates them. It motivates them that there's no juice and no hype for the team right now. All right, our question of the day. It's 100 days until BYU football season opener against the Salukis of Southern Illinois. How will you spend your last 100 days until the start of football season? Dallin Worthington on X says, fly fishing and refreshing X for BYU News.
Half of that is what Gary Scheide will be doing as well.
I was just going to say, Gary will join you in the fly fishing category.
Gary goes, fun fact, Gary has a cabin in Minnesota. And after he's done calling baseball at BYU, he goes to Minnesota for the whole summer, which is awesome.
Steven on X answers, rewatching all the wins from the past few seasons and playing NCAA 25.
I like that a lot. That my summer, by the way, the last 100, it'll be have a baby in July, play the video game. That is the summer. That is what's going
on,
Doug.
Sounds like a fantastic summer. Get some sleep.
And luckily, I'm not having the baby. My wife is, but yes.
Hashtag BYUSN on X, Facebook, and Instagram. When can I buy the game again?
July 19th. I think you could pre-order now.
I got to buy a new console. I got to buy a new console. It's going to be an expensive summer.
I do, too. I do, too. Tune in tomorrow for a BYU Sports Nation Deep Blue special featuring stories from BYU men's basketball and former players like Trevin Nell, Jeff Chapman, Mike Hall, and others. Friday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Up next, 4-star point guard, ESPN top 100 recruit Elijah Crawford joins the program, making his BYUSN debut. Why he chose to play for the Cougars and Kevin Young. This is BYUSN.
Nell dribbles into a three, top of the key, and he knocks it down. Down the top with a hammer.
Elijah Crawford. I like this dude's game. He's super smooth, three-level scorer.
They go low to Foose, reverse flip and score. Fuseni Traore.
A sign of things to come at BYU in the Marriott Center. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. You didn't have to wait long to meet BYU's newest basketball signee. He is a four-star point guard. Elijah Crawford is making his BYU Sports Nation debut.
Yeah.
Elijah, welcome officially to BYU Sports Nation.
I'm excited. Thank you guys for having me.
Hey, it was good to give you the tour and show you around the studio, but how does it feel to be on the show officially as a member of BYU basketball?
Hey, it feels, I don't know, kind of unreal, man, but I'm excited and I'm ready.
Did Spencer seal the deal? Was he the one that
was
really,
the closer?
Really closed it for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel like once I came in there, I was like, yeah, I had to commit.
That's awesome, man. Well, tell us more about kind of your journey to get to Provo. Obviously, Brandon Dunson is a major connection, having you know, committed to Stanford. But what was it about your visit and BYU that really intrigued you?
I would say ultimately it just checked off all my boxes, you know. It's a top 20 academic school. You know, I obviously already had my relationship built with Dunson, and, you know, Dunson kind of anchored me in. And also with Coach Kevin Young, like, I trust what he's telling me. I trust the process that I'm going to go through with him in terms of me just being a better college basketball player and him helping me being a pro.
How do you see yourself fitting in schematically with Kevin Young and Brandon Dunson and BYU basketball altogether?
I say, well, Coach Young, he's for sure going to implement the NBA offense into our offensive scheme. So it's going to be a lot of pick and roll, a lot of ball screens, stuff like that. And that's really what I excel at, in my opinion, like coming off a ball screen, just my decision making, my preciseness. And yeah, that's how I feel.
I really liked watching your highlights. You're super smooth, as I mentioned, three-level scorer. You got a really nice mid-range game. Where do you pride yourself the most in what you can do with the ball in your hand?
I would say playmaking. You know, my playmaking skill is very high. I can, coming off a pick, I can, you know, pull up, make the shot, attack if I need to, or kick it out to an open teammate. And I would just say playmaking and my ability to score, I feel like that will have defenses on their heels.
Which guy or guys are your player comps?
Oh, I would say a little bit of Jamal Murray, especially in the mid-range game. Like, that's who I look at and I'm like, oh yeah, I can take that from him. Mike Conley, a few years ago when he was at the when he was on the Grizzlies, not I wouldn't say old Mike Conley, but Mike Conley on the Grizzlies, he was really good and he was a playmaker as well.
So young Mike Conley. You also mentioned to me when you were on your tour that you like some aspects of Donovan Mitchell's game. What do you like about what Spida Mitchell brings, and what do you try and emulate from his game?
Just, man, the way he plays, like, he plays hard. He plays really hard. He's a dog, you know. He can score at any time, but he's also like a player that can get his teammates involved and play make as well.
What was it about, you know, the visit at BYU that kind of sticks out for you in terms of obviously what you were told and what's here, but obviously you've identified academics as the thing that matters, like the overall experience of BYU. What else stuck out for you in addition to basketball?
I would say the facilities were really nice. When I went up to the center and saw that equipment, and I was like, yeah, like, I feel like you guys are really invested into the basketball program, and that's a big plus for me.
Elijah Crawford is a new BYU basketball point guard. He recently signed and is officially committed to Kevin Young and the Cougars, brings some depth to that position, certainly behind Dallin Hall. How much did you know about BYU specifically before BYU began recruiting you?
I didn't know too much, but I have caught a few games last year. Like, I caught the game when they played Kansas and upset at Kansas. And I also caught the Baylor game when they upset at Baylor. So, like, I know what our guys are capable of, and I know what I will bring to the table to help us win next year.
It was a tremendous season, one where there was some overachievement. Some expectations are here now for BYU in the Big 12. How excited are you to play in the nation's best basketball conference?
Hey, I'm excited. I'm ready to get to it, man. I feel like it'll be great competition day in and day out, which will do nothing but help me as a player and help me develop as a young man as well.
Elijah, the coaching staff has talked about not only your playmaking ability, but the cerebral factor, how you see the game, the feel you have for the game. Where did that development come from, and when did you start to notice that the game was slowing down for you and that you were becoming a little bit of a chess player with the game?
I would say this year at Brewster Academy. Like last year when I went to Legacy, I was kind of like a combo. I could play on and off the ball, but this year I was like strictly on the ball, and Coach Smith just helped me tremendously in terms of decision making. Like we broke down film before, like he tells me what reads I need to make and stuff like that. So I feel like this year has been the biggest jump in my game, just strictly being a point guard and coming off of being a two guard kind of one combo. So I feel like this year has been the biggest jump for me.
And Coach Smith has been around for a minute, and he's produced now his second BYU Cougar with Charles Abuo having played at Brewster as well.
Right.
Which is pretty cool. Okay, when do you plan on getting to Provo, and what are your expectations for yourself once you get here?
I plan on coming, I believe, the second, because workouts start on the third. So some expectations I have for myself, man, I just want to come in and be a leader early, prove to the coaches that they can trust me. And ultimately, I want to come in and just, you know, come in with a winning mindset and do anything for the team to help win.
Elijah, on your visit, you had a good chance to look at the mountains and see the campus. And you mentioned the facilities and that those resonate with you. How do you feel about the geographical area overall and what Provo
is?
Man,
I feel like it's beautiful. Like I'm up here at Lake Winnipesaukee, and I feel like Lake Winnipesaukee has some run for his money up there in Provo. It's really nice up there, especially with the snow on the mountains. That just blew me away.
Yeah, it's awesome. You'll love it, man. Be playing ball in front of the snow-capped Timpanogos and Wasatch Front here. It'll be awesome, man. In terms of college basketball, what are your goals? You mentioned pro basketball as well. Obviously, Kevin Young is a guy that's been at the highest level. What are your ambitions with this?
Ultimately, like when I'm done playing, I want to go to the league. NBA, that's my main goal.
Well, you got a head coach that was the top paid assistant coach in the NBA, and Kevin Young. Now he's at BYU.
Right.
Certainly his connections can help in that regard. So how much of that factor impacted your decision to choose BYU and Coach Young?
That was a huge factor. Like from the jump, he told me not only did he want to help me get comfortable being a college player, but he wants to take my game to the next level and, you know, help me become a pro. And I trust what he said, and I truly believe that he can do that for me.
And what do you think of the idea of maybe Chris Paul and Devin Booker showing up at BYU workouts to hang out with the guys?
Hey, man, I mean, it's exciting. I mean, to say nonetheless, it's really exciting. Like, those are some guys I look up to, and, like, you know, I try to look at their game as well. Like, Devin Booker, his mid-range game, I love it. Chris Paul, the way he comes off screens and his decision-making is just unbelievable. And, I mean, I got a chance to Chris Paul actually coached against me, and I got a chance to beat his team when he was coaching.
Nice.
And he won that game, too. So I got a little history with Chris Paul as well.
That's awesome, man. Will you tell us more about the relationship with Brandon Dunson? Obviously, that matters a lot to you because you're coming here where he is.
Brandon, like, I actually have this note that Brandon left for me.
From Stanford.
When I was at Stanford. I don't know if you guys can see it. The light might be too bright.
Hey, it's glowing. It's that good.
Yeah, you can't really see it, but I read it. Like, this is a quote that he sent me. He was like, "If it was easy, everyone would do it. It's been a long route here, but like I promised you, I want to coach you, and I will find a way to get you on campus, period. I've always told you from time to time, you are the most underrated player and the best point guard in the country, and I stand by that." So, like, Me and Dunson, he's been recruiting me for about 2 years. Mm. So, like, over that 2 year span, like, we just developed a great relationship, probably one of the greatest relationships I have with a college coach since I've been in the recruitment process.
Wow. Elijah Crawford with us on BYU Sports Nation. How would you just sum up the last month of your life, Elijah, with the transition and now settling on BYU?
I would say one word I would describe it is blessed. Like, I feel like God has just put me in a position to where I'm able to excel and do my best at life, basketball, and all categories, man. So I would say I'm blessed and highly favored by the Most High.
Hey, we love that around here at a private institution where you can worship, right, which is awesome. The last Elijah that played for BYU was also from Georgia, Elijah Bryant. He's still playing in Turkey, played with the Bucks, won an NBA championship. So I like the vibes of an Elijah from Georgia at BYU. How does that sound to you?
Sounds great to me, man. I'm coming up there. I'm representing Augusta, Georgia. So, I mean, it's going to be great. We're going to have a good time. We're going to be winning next year. Y'all just expect that from us.
Do you hit the links ever? You're from Augusta, Georgia, home of the Masters.
Yeah, I mean, we had a couple jet skis at the crib, so I go out on the lake sometimes, have some fun on the lake, get on the jet skis, you know, go tubing every now and then. It's really fun.
There's more than just golf in Augusta, Georgia. It is Elijah Crawford. You're the show coming to Provo. What message do you want to send to BYU fans, along with what you were just saying, that expect us to show up and we're going to win? So what's your message to BYU fans?
Just buckle up and get ready, because next year is going to be a show. Next year we're going to be winning. And in 2 to 3 years, BYU will be a blue blood.
I love it. I love it. It's a new era, right, with Kevin Young. And we're so excited that you're going to be a part of it. Thanks for coming on the program,
yes,
Elijah.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Elijah Crawford, 4-star point guard with us on BYU Sports Nation and representing Augusta, Georgia, Brewster Academy. Now he's coming to BYU.
Super mature kid, right?
Yeah.
He's a senior in high school. He's going to be here in a couple of weeks working out with the guys and in school and whatnot. So that's awesome, man. But what a steal for BYU to get a guy like Elijah Crawford.
And how cool that he saved that initial letter
that mattered
from Brandon Dunson.
Yep.
And he said he reads it almost every day. Reminds himself, like, okay, there's real belief in me. And what a boon to have Brandon Dunson at BYU and be able to get
Big
Elijah
time.
Crawford to play for the Cougars.
Big time. Cannot wait to see Elijah Crawford at BYU. Hey, check out the latest Her Why podcast featuring the Associate Athletic Director over Student Athlete Development, Diversity, and Inclusion, Whitney Johnson-Catt, wherever you get podcasts.
Up next on BYUSN, Taysom Hill back in the news to a degree. And taking snaps at another position? What is this all about? Can he not do anything? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. Let's roll out today's headlines.
Track and field had a nice showing on day one at the NCAA West prelims in Fayetteville, Arkansas, highlighted by Cameron Bates in the javelin, Danny Bryant in the shot put, who both qualified for the NCAA championships. But the guy of the day, Riley Hunt, broke a 45-year-old school record in the 110-meter hurdles, running a 13.7. Prelims continue through Saturday.
The Kansas City Chiefs and head coach Andy Reid, BYU guy, signs another BYU guy. Second-round draft pick Kingsley Suamataia to a 4-year, $6.4 million contract with a likely $1.5 million signing bonus. Suamataia participating in the Chiefs OTAs this week.
Was that an Austin Powers reference there for a second? $1 million.
$1 million.
Like, did you mean billion? Rivals.com put out transfer portal grades for all Big 12 football teams. Gave BYU a C+. Okay. BYU's portal class was highlighted by quarterback Gary Bohannon and linebacker Jack Kelly.
24/7 Sports releasing a way too early power rankings for Big 12 basketball. We talked about this earlier in the show. The Cougars coming at number 9 on the list. In the article, it says to check back in on BYU in a few weeks once the roster is filled out because, quote, the complexion of Young's roster could look vastly different and so much better, end quote.
Pro Football Focus has Puka Nacua ranked as the 13th best wide receiver in the NFL heading into the 24th season. Nacua broke 2 NFL rookie receiving records last season for the Rams.
Think about that. He's already the 13th best wide receiver going into his second season.
That's incredible. What a meteoric rise for our guy.
And Gabby Garcia-Fernandez had a team-high 11 points on 9 kills, 2 aces in the United States debut in a sweep loss to Poland and Turkey in Volleyball Nations League. Good to have Gabby playing for the red, white, and blue. The United States plays France tomorrow.
There was a funny moment where he hit the ball so hard it went off a dude's face and out of bounds, and the play-by-play said, Scott Sterling. And I'm like, little do you know the BYU connection there.
The ties are there.
Pretty funny.
Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. The Cougar Whip Round was presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Pro Football Focus has Puka Nacua, 13th best wide receiver heading into the season. What would it take for him to break the top 10, in your opinion?
Similar okay, how about this? Over 1,000 yards receiving, but what you were saying yesterday, double-digit touchdowns.
Yeah.
That would make him a top 10 receiver.
I agree. Yeah, put up similar numbers, which is asking a lot, but more touchdowns.
He can go over 1,000 and have 10 touchdown grabs.
Especially with 17 games now.
Yes. Let's stay with football. There are reports from New Orleans Saints camp that Taysom Hill has been taking snaps not just at tight end, but also as a fullback now. Jerem, of everything he does, he's been a punt returner, a punt defensive specialist, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, now fullback. What's his most effective position?
Quarterback, when the ball's in his hands. That's the most effective
position. In the Wildcats specifically?
Yes, yes, because he's a threat to obviously throw and run. Yeah.
When he is a running quarterback in goal line scenarios and red zone scenarios, he is so dangerous.
Oh, use check? Question mark? Could he be used like that as a fullback? We'll see.
Flex him out? Yeah, receiving fullback?
Is he actually going to block somebody in the hole? Like, what are we talking about? The student-athlete building on campus got a new look on the exterior. BYU Cougars posted this video. Do you like the new look outside the student-athlete building?
Yes, I appreciate that BYU is constantly looking to refresh and renew things, yeah. Specifically over there. It's felt like they've had some project going on in that building every year for the last decade.
You should be constantly improving. Construction is a sign of improvement.
Yes, people will complain about it, but it's like, you know this is good, right?
It's a sign of improvement.
Nice stuff.
I welcome it. Yeah.
Yeah, so I like it. I think it looks really sharp.
I welcome it, unless it's our building, then I don't like it as much because it's inconvenient.
You know what I don't like?
I'm kidding.
This schedule release from Fox for Friday night college football games. This is unbelievable. Listen to this. Rutgers is going to play in Los Angeles against USC. 11 Eastern kick time. They got to go from New Jersey to L.A., and they have to kick off at 11 Eastern.
On a Friday.
On a Friday.
On a Saturday. Short week.
How long until you are used to these new-look Power 4 conferences with these ridiculous kick times?
We'll never get used to it, because in 2 or 3 years, if it gets blown up again, we'll have to get used to the new thing. So, no, never. No one cares about Rutgers football also.
Rutgers is going to play football until 3 o'clock in the morning, their time. That's not right.
Yeah, fun for you. BYU Statsman posted this gem on X yesterday about a stunt that Cosmo pulled in 1955 where a helicopter landed in the middle of the field dropping Cosmo off to pogo stick over to the sideline at a football game. Would you like to see this brought back?
Yes, because this is now a thing, I 100% want it to happen during homecoming.
Look at this.
Thankfully, they're not flying helicopters straight out of the Korean War in MASH anymore.
Yeah.
They're a little more high-tech and safe.
I hiked to that site as a kid, by the way, where they shot MASH.
They shot MASH.
But this is, Cosmo was the original Chaz Ayer. Helicopter into the stadium.
Yes.
I like that.
I would love, wouldn't you think that's
that'd be fun.
Awesome during homecoming, like flying on a helicopter and then pogo stick out of there? That would be incredible.
The pogo stick part is so 1955. What?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. He'll have those pogo legs on and he'll be doing like backflips from the helicopter. Things evolve and get better.
Of anything.
Yes.
Amazing.
Up next, how one Cougar fan found solace and overcame tragedy with help from the BYU women's basketball team. An incredible man, an incredible story on the way. Do not go anywhere. This is BYU SN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. After a family tragedy, Scott Park found refuge in BYU women's basketball. His fandom for the team and their support of him helped give him hope moving forward. An incredible story. This is Deep Blue.
And Jasmine Moody get the start in the post, and with that tip, we are underway.
Oh, yeah. I remember it very, very well. We'd get close, and then we'd fall back. We'd get close, we'd fall back again and that stuff. And they were really kind of controlling the game.
He said there wasn't a lot of fans there that day, and the cheering was not what it could be.
And they were fighting their way back, And I remember that Gonzaga scored.
And another steal, right off. Wayman's free throw, no good. Another offensive board as it goes right back to the shooter, and Jeff Judkins pleading for a timeout with his team trailing by one and 1:39 to play. BYU looking for its first lead of the game.
My name is Scott Park, and I am a diehard BYU fan.
For him, it is just watching the game. Even if they lose, he doesn't care. He's a huge fan of just watching them play as hard as they can.
Scott sent an email to our basketball office, and he described he wanted to come down to a basketball game at Portland. And he said he was driving 250-plus miles away from Washington to come down to watch this game. So we thought, anyone who can drive that far deserves tickets. So we gave him tickets. We've never met him before. And all of a sudden, you hear this guy just going after the refs. Come on, it's 6-1. You guys are terrible. It's home cooking. And it goes on the whole game. After the game ends, we come out of the locker room. And this guy comes up to me and he says, hey, great game, coach. Yeah, I was giving it to the refs the whole game. And I come to find out, that guy was Scott. So it was the first time I ever met him, and I knew right then and there I loved him because he was a diehard BYU fan.
He learns about the players, different players. And this, when he learns about them, it causes him to think about what sacrifices they make to do that. And they don't do it just for themselves. They do it for their fans, too, is how he sees it.
Getting away from the normal 8-to-5 job, the normal run-of-the-mill work that you always do and that stuff. It was a break in the schedule. You know, I would probably say I go down now about 15, 16 times a year to watch BYU.
What I remember is the day started out normal. Then Scott called me, said, have you heard from Ben or Marilyn? Ben didn't show up for work.
We all tried to call Ben. He doesn't answer.
And I knew something was wrong. I jumped in the car, went out to his trailer. You know, knocked on the door, nobody answered. I could hear the dog barking on the inside, so I opened the door up, and there were, you know, and then I found Ben and Marilyn there on the bed.
I got in my car, and I just flew. As I, you know, I'm pulling up, my dad's out in the street, so I park, I get out. He just got away, hugged me. And I knew my brother was dead.
I've seen on TV where people collapse out of sorrow. I always thought, oh, they're acting, but it's not acting. Because I just fell to the floor and cried.
The fact that he and Marilyn would have ended their lives intentionally wasn't even crossing my mind at that moment.
When we went to see the coroner, we found out she had shot him and then she shot herself. Everybody was saying it was a love-packed thing. And I'm thinking, how can you love somebody and shoot him in the head? But over time in prayer, I realized that they were both on drugs. And when you're on drugs, you don't think logically.
Immediately following Ben's death, my dad was put in the hard spot of needing to coordinate the funeral, needing to worry about the trailer that they had been living in.
So I just kind of went in automatic and this has got to be done. But that's all that I was doing. Very, very unlike me. And my kids, my family, they knew that. They knew I wasn't. They knew that I was doing everything, but I wasn't really there. I wasn't really there.
Every time he closed his eyes, he would see them dead on the bed. And so going to sleep for him for a long time was really, really hard because he didn't want to close his eyes.
About 3 or 4 months after we lost Ben and Marilyn, my wife, my brother, and everybody kind of kicked me out of the house. That's the way I felt. Go do something. Go get, you know, go do something for yourself because, you know, this is something you enjoy. Go do it. As they came off during that timeout, the ladies came out and they were going like this, you know. I literally asked myself the question as they were doing that, what am I doing here? I just buried my son and daughter-in-law. And that's when, like I said, Heavenly Father just took a 2x4 and hit me over the head with it. Scott, you're not dead. You can still affect the living. Now get up and cheer. And I did. I literally burst into tears, just tears coming down my eyes, because it was like the dam broke, and all of a sudden I could live again. I could actually feel again. The sadness wasn't really there. It was more of a celebration of the lives that Ben and Marilyn had had, the celebration of these young women that were out there fighting so hard for, you know, yeah, to get a win, to get the dub. I was part of it, and I could be part of it. And it was like they were inviting me. When they said, come on, you know, they were inviting me to be part of that happiness and that joy. And that's what I felt.
Rydalch has the ball, and the Dogs are called off by Lisa Fortier. BYU wins 58-54. What a game between...
Dear Coach Judkins, please share this with your team. They mean the world to me. You'll find out why as you read this.
We were all asked to individually read this letter. So when it became my time, I looked at the front of it and it said Scott Park. I was like, oh, it's a letter from Scott. Didn't think anything of it. As I started reading the letter, you know, Scott just started to, thank us.
As I reflect on this experience, your team provided me one of those tender mercies from Heavenly Father that I desperately needed. They may never know how they are affecting people, but to sacrifice so much of their time and energy on our behalf, well, again, thank you.
We loved him before that letter, but after that, he became the Godfather.
It's okay if you feel angry. It really is okay. It's okay if you feel sad. It's okay when you get depressed. It's really okay. That's part of being alive and living, is having those feelings. The one word of advice, though, is let other people into your lives and let them help you. Don't be so proud or so embarrassed that you won't let other people help you and love you. They're just basically doing what our Father in Heaven wants them to do, is by loving you, caring for you, watching out for you, and taking care of you as well.
People always say people are going through things that we never know what they're going through. That's why a kind act, a smile, a letter, a phone call can go a long way. And to know that our kind deed helps someone, or basically save a life, that's what we're all here for. We're here to help people progress. And we felt like we did our part that day. And we can't take full credit for it because, like Scott said, it was a tender mercy. We were just listening to the prompting.
Incredible story. Wow. Scott is,
wow,
his ambition to, and the way that he cheers and supports BYU women's basketball. He talks to me after every game I call. Like, he personifies what a true blue BYU fan is, and just what a hardship he's gone through.
I didn't know his story, and I've talked to Scott at several games.
Yeah.
See him all the time. He drives down from Idaho to come to the games. Like,
yeah,
he supports the team. The openness in which he's shared his story through the Deep Blue is notable. We just don't know what people are going through. That's like Ray Stewart said there. And people go through really hard things. This is an outlet for many people in different situations to be able to cope with life. And thank goodness for people like Scott and the women's basketball team, that we can come together for something that in the end doesn't really matter, but we have fun with. It's an outlet, as he mentioned.
It's bigger than just the game. Clearly.
Absolutely.
Way bigger than just a game.
Great job by the crew on that story.
Yeah. Love Scott. Love his family. Yeah. Rise and shout out to them. Up next, I know Scott's excited. We're only 100 days away from kicking off the 2024 BYU football season. How will all of you spend your time until then? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. How will you spend your last 100 days until the official start of the BYU football season? Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from Jennifer Price Carver on Instagram, who says, watching BYU Sports Nation for all of the updates and intel.
Hey, that's the elite voice of the day for a good reason.
Why we do what we do.
keep you entertained for a majority of those 100 days. Today's Rise and Shadow presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Riley Hunt of BYU Track and Field setting the school record in the 110 hurdles. Broke a 45-year-old record. Congrats at the NCAA prelims.
Thanks to Elijah Crawford. Sorry to Dennis Pettit. For Jerem, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Mackenzie Pulsifer. Tomorrow, Deep Blue Special. Enjoy that. Go Cougs.